Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words, and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. What is the first commandment?
You shall have no other gods.
What does this mean?
We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
What is the second commandment?
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks.
What is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not despise preaching his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn.
What is the fourth commandment?
Honor your father and your mother.
What does this mean? What is the fifth commandment?
You shall not murder.
What does this mean?
You should fear and love God, so that you do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in everything that is needed.
What is the sixth commandment?
You shall not commit adultery.
What does this mean?
You should fear and love God, so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other.
What is the seventh commandment?
You shall not steal.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions, or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income.
What is the eighth commandment?
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
What does this mean?
You should fear and love God, so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in a kind respect.
What is the ninth commandment?
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house. For getting in the way only appears right, but help and be of service to him.
What is the 10th commandment? What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away his wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty.
What does God say of all these commandments?
He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, by showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
What does this mean?
God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against him. But he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands.
Connect the fear and love of God with every commandment. God wants our hearts and minds, not merely our outward actions. Let the broken heart fear him, for these commandments are not suggestions or jokes. God loves the sacrifice of the broken heart. He does not despise them. He joins the broken heart to his mercy for healing and peace, for deliverance and purity. At this time, I will direct your attention to page 16 of your hymnal. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee for God's mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Please be seated. Thus you are, and thus you shall return. you are, and to dust you shall return. To dust you are, and to dust you shall return. To dust you are, and to dust you shall return. To dust you are, and to dust you shall return. To dust you are, and to dust you shall return. To dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words, and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Please stand for prayer.
Our service continues on page 19. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday comes from Joel, chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, "Spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations." Why should they say among the peoples, "Where is their God?" Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, "Behold, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle comes from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I will direct your attention once again to page 22 as we confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. And ascended to heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our next hymn is number 342. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Return to the Lord your God. This was the prophet's message to the people of Israel. It is God's message to all people in Jesus Christ, and as you may have guessed, it is God's message for you during this Lenten season. Return. Now, the word return means to go back to somewhere you once were. Maybe somewhere that you belonged but are no longer. You see, when God created the world, he created us to be in communion with him, to be together with him. And of course, our sin ruins that relationship. And so we once were with the Lord, and now we are not. Specifically, this is the situation that is before Israel in Joel's day. The people had forsaken God. They had departed from his word, and therefore that means they had departed from his blessing. So as God often did when his people would leave him behind, is he sends them a problem. He sends them trouble. He sends them hardship to bring them to their senses. The problem in Joel's day is locusts. One locust is not a big deal. But it's not just one locust that God warns Joel and the people of Israel about. It is an entire swarm of locusts that will be descending on the people of Israel. They would devour all the food, all the vegetation. Now, in our own time, if we have a time of drought, or I don't think we've ever had locusts in our country, or if we have a spot of bad weather, we know that these things aren't good. But with modern transportation methods, we know that it doesn't take long for a semi-truck to bring us food from another location. They didn't have semi-trucks with food in Israel's day, in Joel's day. In the ancient world, it just wasn't an option. And so if locusts come and devour all of your food, it is certain to mean death and hardship and suffering, the likes of which we have not experienced in our own country. But the locusts aren't even the worst part. The locusts are just the thing that God uses as the earthly thing that the people of Israel would understand. Because what comes after the locusts is the day of God's judgment. God's army that would descend on the people of Israel would be far worse, far more destructive than the locusts, and there would be no stopping it. Nothing they could do. A certainty of destruction. The people of Joel's day only had one question to ask. What can we do? What can we do if God has promised us destruction? We're not facing locusts tonight. That's not what God has promised for us, although we can understand how locusts might help us understand our sin. If it was just one sin that we had to deal with, we might be able to convince ourselves that it isn't that big of a problem. But the truth and the fact of the matter is that we don't just have one sin. If you followed through the self-examination that we had at the beginning of our service, you know that you have a whole swarm of sins. We've forsaken God's word. We have left him behind. We seek to improve our own lives. And oftentimes that happens when the detriment of other people's lives. We covet what somebody else has that we want. We fail to guard our lips when we speak, and we tear down our family and our friends and our acquaintances. We want what doesn't belong to us. We let our eyes wander to places that they just shouldn't go. We lose our temper all too easily, and we neglect the study of God's word. Over and over again, we sin. The locusts aren't just on their way. They're already in the midst of our lives, and they are devouring us right now. And even worse than the toll that our sin takes on our relationships in our world even today is the fact that the day of the Lord's judgment is going to come. Jesus will come back to earth and he will reveal all of the good we have done, but more terrifying is all of the bad that we have done. That day will be a day of wrath. And the only question we can ask ourselves then is, what can we do? Where can we turn? The prophet Joel says, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." And so we recognize our faith, or our sin, and then we repent of it. And in faith, we return to the Lord. We stop trusting in ourselves, and instead, we trust in him. We have no power over the locusts. We have no power over the day of the Lord. We have no power over our sin, and we have utterly no ability to receive a better verdict from God. However, there is hope. Hope in God's promise that it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. In spite of our sin, in spite of our downfall, in spite of the locusts that are all around us, God has promised blessing. A blessing that is only found in calling on his name. And what name does he want us to use? Yahweh is salvation. And chances are you prefer the Greek of the same name. Jesus. Jesus is the name that we call. God calls us to return to himself, and he does it through our Savior. You see, the people in Joel's day, they were worried that they would have to ask, "Where is our God?" in the moment of their salvation. But we don't have to. We don't have to ask where God is. We don't have to ask where salvation is, because we already know it is found in our Savior Jesus. The bridegroom has left heaven to be united with his bride, the church. He came from his chamber to give himself on the cross, to shed his blood, and to endure the wrath that you deserve. The swarm of locusts that we have to deal with, it doesn't swarm around you. But Jesus has gathered the entire swarm of our sins to himself on the cross. And it kills him. But he does it that you might know God. And not as a God of wrath, but as a God of mercy. As a God of redemption. As a God of reconciliation who restores himself and you. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, our sin is removed from us as far as the east is from the west. God calls you to return. Return to his word. Return to belief in this promise, and return over and over and over again. Because it's in Jesus' name and in his alone that you have forgiveness and life and salvation. And when God sees you, he doesn't see your sin, but he sees his innocent child, one for whom there is no destruction. My friends, in spite of our sinful rejection of God, in spite of the ways that we have failed over and over again, he invites you tonight to return. Return to his promise. Return to his blessing. And therefore, this season of Lent, we do. In faith in the one who has given his life for us, we return to the Lord our God. For he is gracious and merciful. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ in the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, Drink of it all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy, your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
preserve you in body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy, your sins are forgiven.
Our service continues on page 29. Please stand. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 151.